The other night, I watched a television show, and I thought, well, you know, that'd be interesting. It's called Moment of Truth, in which somebody is put on a lie detector and asked quite a few questions. And I thought, well, that'd be interesting. And I had no idea the scope of the questions they would be asking. But I watched this, and I watched just right at the end of the show, I caught it, and I thought, this is terrible. There was a woman there who was doing this, and of course, it's you answer so many questions, you get more money or something. But in order to tell the truth, she admitted that she was in love with somebody else whenever she married her husband, that she had had relations with somebody else since that time, that she wished she was with that other person even now. And I thought that. I mean, my stomach just rolled. But she lost the game because they asked her the final question, and I don't even remember how much money she had, but if you ever answer one wrong, then you lose. And the question that stopped her was they asked her, said, do you think you're a good person? And she sat there for a moment and she said, yes, I do. And that just amazed me after everything she'd admitted, how anybody could even say that. But it turned out that on the lie detector, she didn't believe that herself. And I thought, you know how strange it is in this world that people go through life and they try to really convince themselves that they are good people when they know down in their heart they're not. We realize, though, we can be good people. But what it takes is looking not to the standard of the world or a standard that we make up, but looking to the Word of God and saying, you know, what does it take to make me a good person? One passage you can go to is in the book of Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. There we find that Jeremiah had been sent, of course, to prophesy the doom coming upon the children of God. They had chosen time and time again to reject God, His Word, His way, and thus Jeremiah prophesied of the captivity into which they would go. But as he spoke of the doom that was there in chapter 5, we find that he says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if we can find a man. And obviously what he's looking for is a good man, a good person. And then he goes on through the rest of that chapter and he gives some characteristics of this purpose and this idea of being good. And God's statement in chapter 5, he says, if you can find one of these, I'll pardon. Well, the reality was there wasn't anybody. But I believe today that we can find good people like this. But it takes, like I said, self-examination and determination. Whenever we find those things lacking, we go to God. And we seek His forgiveness, and then we get back on that course which is right. Well, let's just look briefly at some of these things. We won't have the time to go over them, but hopefully you can go home and study these and look. There's so much can be brought out in them. But for example, in Jeremiah 5 and verse 1, he says, go seek, and if there be any man, he said, if there be any that executeth judgment. It's the first characteristic he gives. Now, in the American Standard, that says one who acts justly or does justly. In other words, God has given something that is right. It's in accordance to what is just and right in His eyes, not in our own eyes. In the book of Judges, you find the sad statement that led the people into such a degradation, as you read in chapter 17 and verse 6, and then later on in the book. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What a terrible, terrible situation that ended up. Whenever we do justly, we do that which is just. We have the proper judgment. That is a righteous judgment based upon God's will. What saith the law? Is that you and I? Well, of course, that brings out another characteristic. He says, that seeketh the truth. Well, that means if I'm going to be this person, if I'm going to be a good person, I have to apply something, but I can't apply something I don't know. And so I have to have a regard for the truth that I'm really seeking it. I'm looking into it. That's why Paul told Timothy, there he was putting Timothy forth and telling him the work that he needed to do, that he was to be an example of believers and such as that. But he says, you'd give diligence to show yourself, study, it says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. You see, I've got to seek after that truth. I've got to long for it. Jesus spoke in Matthew, the 5th chapter, of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You look at that word. My life, if I'm a good person, has to be committed to the proper standard. If I'm going to act justly, I've got to have the standard that is in itself righteous and just. There's no other standard in this world that can do that other than God. God's will has been delivered. And so I look at that word, I examine it, and then I'm ready to apply those things. But I'm also, he says, if I'm going to be a good person, he says, and though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. So a good person is going to be one who's careful in his speech. I'm going to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But the principle there is, again, you know, even the things that come out of my mouth, they've got to be tempered by that which goes in, the Word of God that goes in, now controls and molds my heart in a certain fashion, because ultimately that's what's going to come out. But whenever I do that, we all realize that an emotion and such as that, we can be given to rash statements. Well, a good person really works to avoid that. He's going to make sure that what he says is right. Acts 17, verse 11, we talked about searching the Scriptures, whether these things are so. Well, I'm one, if I'm a good person, who says, here's the answer, go look it up. And I'm not afraid of that, because I am very careful in the speech that I give. It's not just a matter of intention that I have, but it is something that I study, I know. I speak those things as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's my message. God said it. And so we are very careful in that, and in the manner even that we say. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, I'm careful that it be in love. I speak the truth in love. So the attitude, the word itself, coupled together, brings me about as being a good person in this area. And then also we find in verse 3 through 5, he speaks about those, and we won't take the time to read it, but it says in verse 4 or verse 3, they receive correction. A good person is not one who is good in his own eyes, no matter what anybody says. If somebody makes a charge against me, comes and says, you know, Jack, you need to consider this. I'm not going to puff up like an old frog. I'm going to look and I'm going to examine what the Word says. And if that's right and true, then I'm going to receive that correction. I may get upset at how somebody says it to me, but I'm going to do what they say if it's in accord with the will of God. So many times we find that we're hesitant to do that. But a good person receives correction. And then in verse 7 through 8, he speaks about the moral purity there. He speaks of those who've committed adultery and such as that. Well, a good person is one who looks at his action and realizes the ability that he has to shine his lights in this world, Matthew 5 and verse 16. To even live in such a way that he can tell all about him. Follow me. As I follow Christ, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. So this good person is one who is morally pure. They look and they don't have the idea that something done in hiding or in darkness can take away from that, because sadly those things generally come out. But I want to live a morally pure life so that I'm not afraid of what people say. Peter speaks about those who will speak evil of you, but your good works. In other words, you have this righteousness, you're living justly and rightly. By your works, you put to silence those charges of those people. Well, it's because I've made a determination to live a morally pure life. And then in chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 24, you find that they trust in certain things. Maybe it's a sword, maybe it's the wall fences, the walls and such as that. But he says that then a good person is one who puts his confidence in God. That's where my confidence is. Every time I think of that, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy, the first chapter in verse 12. He says, I know whom I believe, And I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's the confidence we have. Paul wrote in the Roman letter, he said, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the confidence. I don't trust in self. I don't trust in my abilities or what somebody else has said or what somebody else has done or that we can all join together. No, it's God that if I'm a good person, I put my trust in. And then the last thing we'd notice in verse 28, he speaks about these people that overshadow the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless and such as that. A good person is concerned with the welfare of others too. I look out and it's, this world is filled with so many things of just, I'm doing it my way. You take care of yourself, I'll take care of myself. A good person can't be that way. A good person looks and realizes the effect of his action, his words, his deeds on all around him. The Apostle Paul wrote so many times in the Roman letter, in the Corinthian letter, about things that are even lawful. But if they cause somebody else harm, you're not going to do them. If they're not commanded, if it's an option, and yet it's going to cause somebody harm, if you take that liberty, you're not going to do it because you're concerned with others. And that really sets us apart from the world. I think that's part of what Jesus spoke of in John 13 and verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. You look and you find Jesus as he saw the welfare of others. He wept. Whatever he found them, their lives, their souls in disarray. When was the last time we wept at the fate of others round about us? Then the flip side of that, in the Roman letter, Paul says, rejoice with them that rejoice. When people do good, oh, you're happy for them because you're a good person. You're concerned about their welfare. You rejoice with the good, you weep with the bad. That woman on TV, it really just made me nauseated to look and to think, you know, what is this woman doing? She did it for money. But then to come down to it, and it seemed as if in her heart she knew she was no wise a good person. And I thought that's the real tragedy of it all. Maybe if we had a proper concept of self, then so many of these other things, the treatment of others, the handling of God's word, all of this works out if we're that good person just spoken of here, and there's so much more could be said. So I ask you, I ask myself tonight, are you a good person? I hope you are. But the great news is, you don't have a lie detector and such as that. You got the Word of God. A lie detector can be wrong. Word of God can't. You and I have the ability, I can look at this Word. You know what, if I don't think I'm right, I make the changes necessary. And God gives me ability to do that. There's no reason that every single one of us cannot leave this room tonight saying, you know, I am a good person. Not just I think. I know I'm a good person. Because God said so. If you haven't done that, you have opportunity. Of course, first thing you got to do is be one of God's children. You may be good in the eyes of the world, but, you know, it's like we spoke of last Sunday. There's a lot of people put things in a bag filled with holes. There's no substance there. If you're a child of God, you have a foundation upon which you stand, on which you can approach God, and you have the assurance He's with you. You can be that child through obedience to His will. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have opportunity to do that tonight if you haven't. If you're a child of God, you find yourself lacking. 1 John 1 and verse 9, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever the need is that we have tonight, let's be good as we leave. Let's be good together so that we can live here and go and enjoy that heavenly home together. If we can help you in that regard, let's do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation. What can wash away?